The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
John Anik, Kenny Florian.
Oh, my God!
You want a podcast? Great. They have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Well, it's good to have a podcast these days, right? The show must go on. And I'm glad that I told this Macintosh Apple computer to tell me the date so I could tell you it's Monday, because these days are running together. It's March 30th. The year is 2020, a year none of us will soon forget. It's episode 243, I think, of the Anik and Florian podcast. Kenneth Allen Florian. Big day for us for a lot of reasons. AnikFlorianPodcast.com is now live. So no thanks to you or me necessarily, right? All the love to Cody Merrill, but somehow, someway, AnikFlorianPodcast.com is now live.
We didn't do the work, that's for sure. But man, it looks beautiful. It's so well done. You and I have been looking at the merchandise, of course, and we actually went and got some, and I'm excited to get it. Really excited with the quality of the stuff, and it's something we've been wanting to do for a long time, and finally we have someone who's organized who is helping us to do all this stuff, and man, it looks beautiful.
So, AnikFlorianPodcast.com, the code for merchandise for the next week is AF Launch. AF Launch, one word, gives you 15% off of all merchandise for the next week. And then I think it goes down to 10%, but at least the next 7 or 8 days or so. AF Launch, AnikFlorianPodcast.com. So, that's very exciting. And just excited with everything, obviously, that Cody has brought to the table over the first week of our partnership. How are you holding up, right? I mean, so obviously, your daughter, what, is just having turned two last month? Is that correct?
Exactly.
So what are your days hold? Are you sick of playing with toys? I'm on day 18, and day 18, at least through this half day, has been the worst day we've had behaviorally. So not in a great place here sitting in front of you today.
Dude, well, I'm lucky. You know, there's only so much that, you know, my daughter could do to really get herself in trouble. She's pretty chill at this point still. Yeah. We try to get her out to walk around and investigate the neighborhood a little bit without getting too close to other people. So we try to make it like a little adventure. She gets to go around, touch things, and hang out, and we talk about different things. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of playing with toys and stuff. So she's been good. I think I'm way worse. I have way less patience than her. Like, I'm worse than a two-year-old. It's very evident, because I need to be doing jujitsu or doing something physical, and I'm just not able to do that right now, so I'm kind of going a little crazy. I notice my aggression's a little up, like I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
I'm ready to
rock. I feel that too. I'm like biting a hole through my lip some days, you know. It is interesting, though, because I think my daughters are starting to hit a wall, right? I feel like the circumstances are starting to grate on them a little bit. And obviously, I'm enjoying a lot of the family time. And I'm a little bit of an introvert to begin with. So in terms of I'm socially distant, I think, as an individual. But just some of the horror stories with medical workers and people who have been inflicted by this disease. And I know it's a virus, but it is a disease as well. It's just a backdrop to everything we do on this show today. But it all got dropped in our lap this morning, Ken Flo, and certainly unfortunate for Khabib Nurmagomedov if indeed he is not able to compete on April 18th. So I'm going to read his quote. So he did an Instagram live chat, and this is what Khabib had to say about the fight with Tony Ferguson. "We were training at AKA without any information regarding the fight, where and how it is going to happen. Then the UFC told us the fight 100% isn't happening in the States. They said 99% it'll happen in the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi. After talking to the UFC, we decided to fly over to the Emirates a month before the fight." He said maybe it was March 19th or the 20th. "But when we landed in Emirates, we learned that they're going to close the borders and no one will be able to leave or fly in with the exception of residents. So they had to fly back to Russia." He's currently in Dagestan. After he came to Russia, learned that the borders are going to be locked, same like in the States, like in Europe, Emirates everywhere. So he went on to say he's even hearing that they're looking for an opponent for Tony Ferguson because he's in the States and Khabib is in Russia. So Khabib doesn't really know what's going on. Last quote, "It's really hard to train and cut your weight when the whole world is locked down and you don't know what you are preparing for, but it's not the first time I face obstacles in my career." So obviously a lot there and a lot on the plate of all of these athletes, from the highest profile guy on the roster to the guys making 15 grand to show, right? But for Khabib Nurmagomedov, all indications are that this fight is not going to be happening in Russia and thereby is not going to include Khabib.
Yeah, you know, this is a tricky one because you know, I don't know where the communication, you know, went bad. Obviously, there's certain things that are completely out of your control. If a government makes a decision to do something that wasn't in place before, that's kind of out of your hands. But I just wonder about those things. You know, to say you're 99% sure about anything in today's world is probably an overstatement, right? You can't say you're 99% sure it's going to be in this country or that country. Right now, we are in a crazy pandemic, unlike we've seen in the last 100 years. You know, I don't know. I think it would have been better off to have Habib just stay where he is. Don't give him any information of where things could be. If Tony's in the States, you know, and he needs to get to a fight in the United Arab Emirates, why wouldn't you just keep Habib here just in case, as opposed to sending him, you know, there or back to Dagestan? I think, I don't know, that was a kind of a risky move, and, you know, kind of a miscommunication there. But what are you going to do? Things are crazy right now. Again, it looks like this fight is not going to go down. You know, it's simple, John. You just got to make it happen for the sixth time. That's what you got to do.
I don't even know how to handle that right there. But yes, you absolutely, this fight has to happen. I said to Khabib when I interviewed him in Abu Dhabi, I don't want to go to my cremation chamber without this fight having happened. It's that important to me as a sports fan. Forget about what I do for a living. So ESPN has reported that Justin Gaethje was offered the Ferguson fight. Ferguson was offered the Justin Gaethje fight. Let's not lose sight of that. Both sides have to accept it, and there are some crazy circumstances that both are dealing with, not the least of which is the coronavirus. More on that and everything else that's going on in the MMA world. Let's get to Ray Longo.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute. John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
Jorge Masvidal has tweeted that he wants to fight on April 18th or is available. Dustin Poirier has thrown his name into the hat. Tyron Woodley had some comments out there. Me versus Colby Covington, April 18th, unless Tony want to roll it back up to his Ultimate Fighter weight for the bag. Welterweight bout won't take no cheese out his lightweight macaroni. So Ray Longo now joins us live from what is really the epicenter of the coronavirus in the United States of America. You're in where? What town in New York are you in right now? Or do you like to keep that a secret so the MMA fans don't show up at your doorstep?
I'm in Syosset, Long Island. It's
all right.
It's all good. I tell you I think that's the difference. You said it's the epicenter, and being in New York and listening to the way people are acting at this point seems crazy because we have a major problem here. So I get it if you're not here and you're not seeing the numbers like we're seeing. But I got to tell you, man, the only guy so far that's handling this thing right to me is Stipe Miocic. I don't even want to talk about a fight. He's got things to do. There's bigger things than fighting, and I'm starting to hear horror stories of people I know. So it kind of sucks. Jeez. But you know, with that being said, that fight definitely, what a turn of events that was.
Well, this guy, Paul Rowe, Gooseman 24/7, wrote to me on social media. Not a fan of mine, incidentally. It's nice that you think of other people by asking them to suppress their immune system by cutting weight just so you can call a fucking fight during a global pandemic. I'm not asking these guys to cut weight. You know, it's not my decision. I'm not the promoter. I'm talking about going out to call a fight, Ray. But I agree, if you're not dealing with this intimately in your market or in your family, you have no idea the gravity of it. So, yes. Certainly, if I was a promoter, it's easy for me to say I would hit the pause button. I don't know the ramifications, what's going on in those UFC offices. But, Ray, it's really a difficult thing. And from a fight game lens, it sounds like you would just like to see cooler heads prevail and them shut the whole thing down right now.
Well, at this point, yeah. I mean, because even I got, you know, Frivola still thinks he's fighting. And, you know, I got called by Newsday the other day, and it just sucks. I don't want to see any of my guys have to fight compromised, you know what I mean? And New York is, I believe, is a different animal, and I guess California's in the same boat,
right,
too.
Temple,
but, you know, it's like this, man. I don't care where the fight is. I don't think you want guys from New York getting off that plane. I really don't. I mean, how about this, John? How about we don't have a problem in America right now? There's no problem in the U.S., but Italy wants to put on a show, and they want to send a bunch of their guys over here to do a show. You know, doesn't that sound crazy? There's 10,000 deaths over there.
Right.
Right.
You know, so
I mean,
New York, like, again, I'm taking a different approach. I'm just saying, I think New York has to definitely be put on hold. I mean, until things can get cleared up, because nobody could train the right way. And, you know, everybody's doing the best they can. But, I mean, as a coach, I can't be behind that, you know, unless you're
right.
I don't know. It's just it's a tough one, man. But I think, like, again, New York is, you know, under the magnifying glass, and it's a little different. I get that part. But, man, it sucks.
Yeah, no, it really is heavy. And I know a lot of New Yorkers are coming down here to Florida, and people expect Florida is going to get pretty bad. Ken Flo, what's the deal in California right now? I mean, how much are you watching the news, and how much does that sort of strike up your concern when you do consume it?
You know, I read a few articles here and there. I've been trying to watch as least of the news as I can. You know, first of all, there's just a lot of information and misinformation that's being put out there. You hear one thing, you hear another. So it does get a little overwhelming and confusing. Everything is pretty much shut down. I mean, for those of you guys who have driven around L.A., you know it's famous for its traffic. There's no traffic out there. Things are pretty empty. I know they've shut down most of the beaches out here. Some surfer got a $1,000 fine the other day because he was out there enjoying the surf by himself. The only thing that's pretty much open right now are supermarkets. So it's been pretty quiet over here. It seems like most people have been obeying the quarantine for the most part, but it's just a different time. And, you know, I don't know, man. I think that trying to organize anything at this point on a mass scale is nothing short of irresponsible.
Yeah.
Trying to get fights going where guys are going to really compromise their immune system by cutting a lot of weight and risking the fact that they could get the coronavirus. I mean, these are people that could die. These are fighters that legitimately can die, and people are saying, well, they know these risks that are good. They're going into the octagon every single time. Yeah, sure, but there's risks and there's actual risks. Why would you try to make things even more dangerous for yourself? Yes, these fighters need money and they need to fight and all that stuff. I totally get that. But why are we going to risk their lives on a much larger scale to put on a fight at this point? You know, it just doesn't make sense. Every other organization has been shut down completely. Yes, there's a lot of fights that I want to see, but it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, like, again, I think me and Kenny are in the worst areas probably possible at this point.
Yeah,
according to what I'm seeing. But it's a different vibe, man. And I don't know. I'm just not sure what outweighs what at this point. But I could tell you, kind of, man, I've been in for, like, I mean, I've gone out, you know, I've taken drives, but for the most part, I've been locked down in the house.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm not ordering takeout. I'm not doing anything. Just laying low and just try to put all my energy into my family. So I was doing an Instagram live with Paul Felder on Thursday when all of a sudden these John Jones comments just kept coming in.
Yeah.
If you don't know the news by now, he was arrested for alleged aggravated DWI and negligent use of a firearm early Thursday morning. That according to a rep for the Albuquerque Police Department. Ray Longo, most people not surprised. To me, just watching the police cam and that footage was just very sad. I mean, I have a lot of different emotions about this. It's very disappointing for Team Jones and all the individuals that invest so much in him. Did you have any immediate reaction when this news crossed your brow late last week?
No, nothing at all. No, I'm almost with him. It's almost the same as judging. It's never going to get right. It's just that, you know, like, a lot of people don't kick him when he's down. But you said that the first 10 times. Like, when does tough love come into this? You know, when do you really just sit this guy down and read him the fucking riot act? I mean, I don't know. But it's kind of sad to watch it on play in front of millions of people where he's apologizing, he's praying to God, he's doing whatever routine he's doing, and then he just jumps right back in there. It's just, dude, he's a classic example of, you know, an addict, I guess, is the only thing I could say. But he's got to get into a program on a daily basis if he even wants a shot at this thing at this point. You know, going into rehab for one day, I don't think that works. I don't think there's any evidence that that ever worked. But that's what I'm saying. He needs serious help at this point.
Kenny, go ahead. He said, I saw these homeless guys. I was being nice to them, having a conversation with them, treating them like humans. not seemingly in that moment thinking whatsoever about his legal past and the problem of being out, never mind the global pandemic backdrop. What were your thoughts on this whole John Jones thing?
You know, I think it's interesting. I think that it's interesting that it's happening during this time, you know, without getting too deep into things. And I'm not going to pretend that I know what situation he's in. But what is clear, I think, is that he's got a lot of demons that he just clearly isn't facing. And I think Ray kind of touched on it. You're not going to solve a problem by dealing with it for a day. And what this coronavirus self-quarantine thing is doing is it's forcing a lot of people to go inward, and you have to stay at home with your family, and you got to look at yourself and look at your surroundings. And a lot of people don't like doing that because you have to face your demons. You have to face your own issues. And I think for a guy like John Jones, who clearly hasn't done that at this point, it makes him feel, you know, this kind of anxiety and this uneasiness, and he's got to go out and he's got to explode or do something crazy. And I think you can only contain that for so long if you're not truly addressing the issues. And he's not, clearly. I mean, this is something that's going on, been going on for a long time. I have a lot of, you know, MMA fans, guys that are, you know, my friends that aren't fighters. And I tell you what, it's 100% across the board. All those guys have basically said, I'm done. Like, I really could care less whether he fights or not. Why are we rewarding this guy with millions of dollars when he keeps screwing this up? You know, and again, these aren't my words. These are, you know, MMA fans, guys that are hardcore in the sport that just don't get it. And they're just done with John Jones, I guess, in general. And it's tough because the guy really is so dang talented, but man, he just has been plagued with a lot of internal stuff that just keeps coming up.
Ray, fifth or sixth go around, like, how do you face your daughters? We're all girl dads here. How do you face your daughters after this one, right? Because they're not getting any younger. It just becomes embarrassing at this point. And I understand there are mental things that he's dealing with that maybe I'm not dealing with. But it's embarrassing at this point in time, at least from a family and a father perspective.
Well, man, listen, I kind of agree with Kenny, too, or the people he's talking to. I'm done. I've been done with the guy, but yeah, it's sad, and those are the things. Like, if he gets into a program, he'll have to address that in front of a bunch of people, and it'll help him grow. It really will. Yeah. But he's got to really start facing all the people he's hurting, and he's got to make amends with that. He's got to kind of move on, you know. But I think, you know, with this virus, we're seeing a lot of people that just think they're above the virus, they're above the law. And they're going to do whatever the fuck they want. So, it's another really big signal of a lot of people who, what their true colors are, and what they think about other people and how they relate to people. And that there's going to be a lot of good that comes from this because, you know, the people that are really neglecting what's going on, they're going to be held accountable at some future date and time.
Kenny, a lot of professional athletes, whether under the influence or otherwise, have exhibited some weird behaviors, some wayward behavior. Antonio Brown is somebody that comes to mind, certainly the NFL wide receiver and one of the greatest of all time at his position. So I did an interview last week, I think it was some podcast, and they were asking me about CTE, right? At one point, do you start to inject that into the John Jones conversation and narrative, even though he's doled out more damage, obviously, at least in competition, than he's received? Yeah. I'm no medical expert, right? And that was the way I answered that question. I know you come from a medical family. I guess my answer, too, was maybe to dismiss that would maybe be ignorant, but I really have no idea if that's a factor.
No, absolutely. Listen, that could very well be a factor. You know, irrational behavior are behaviors that are exhibited by people suffering from CTE. You know, what people forget is, yeah, maybe we haven't seen him get hurt, you know, big time during his fights, but he's been fighting for a very long time. And during that time, guess what? There's a lot of training where you're doing a lot of sparring. We don't know what happens during those sparring situations and all that stuff. Everything adds up. And there could be something that seems like it's not even a big deal. You get hit, you get hurt, you take a headbutt, you get, you know, whatever, a kick to the head in training. And that could be something that triggers, you know, concussions and something awful. So, You know, I hope that's not the case. It could very well be, though. I mean, again, this is a sport where we are taking a lot of damage. We see it in football. We've seen it in other forms in combat sports. And, you know, that could be a definite problem.
Yeah, that's a really good point, John, which I wasn't even thinking about, but that's a fair point. I mean, and we still don't know the ramifications of any type of head trauma sustained. You know, well, we kind of do, but I just think of that Aaron Hernandez documentary, which just blows my mind.
Yeah,
how this guy was able to have such an outstanding year while he was behaving the way he was is, to me, is mind-boggling. It really is. So that's a really good point, and I do believe, you know, that it is real, and that, if certain parts of your brain click off, it could make you behave in an inappropriate way. I wasn't even going that way with him, but that's interesting.
It wasn't my question, but I brought it here, not by design necessarily. Just a couple more things, Ray, before we let you get back to it. How you running clock during these long days, by the way? I mean, I know you're working out. I know you're getting the toxins out, but how are you running clock?
Yeah, no. You know, as weird as it sounds, I mean, the days are going, they're not going that slow, but
I agree with that.
You know, I'll work out for a couple hours, and then last week I started doing like, what was that?
I just said, wow, 2 hours sounds like four times as long as my workout. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no. But by the time you get done stretching and everything, now I got the time to do it right, too, so it's better. But, you know, in the couple of days last week, I did some FaceTime lessons with Alan, another guy, Nas, a fighter, and Weidman. You know, we all FaceTimed each other. I put him through some drills. So that takes about an hour or two, getting myself sick watching, Fox News and CNN and listening to all the crap, staying on top of that, and just basically making phone calls and calling people I haven't talked to in a while, just making sure they're doing well and catching up on some stuff I should have been doing a long time ago.
Right.
It's almost a blessing in disguise for me outside of all the other economical ramifications. A lot of, like Kenny said, you got to look deep down. You got to reflect a lot. I mean, I would say this would be a disaster for anybody that was in a shitty relationship and now was trapped in the same house with that person.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
No. Very trapped right now. No, I'm just kidding. I have a great marriage. I have a joke about it. It's my marriage. Hey, Ray.
Again, it's a lot of, fortunately, I know a lot of people, so I could spend, 10 hours on the phone a day. So, try and do things like that, and, read up on stuff that I like to do and all that type of stuff. But it's not that bad. I think I could last another week before I lose my shit completely.
No, I mean, this actually does dovetail with a lot of my personality, as I was saying off the top. I don't mind some downtime and some non-social time. So, in terms of this fight, right, and I know all of us don't really want to talk fights per se and cringe at the thought of these fighters going through the medical process and weight-cutting process right now, but UFC 249 is scheduled to happen, and it's less than 3 weeks from now, and Justin Gaethje reportedly has been offered the fight. I know, Ray, we're all disappointed that Khabib Tony is not going to be going down. How do you feel about the stakes in all of this, right? Because even, Matt Frivola's got stakes, right? He's got goals, whether it's to fight three times this year, to get one in, to get a win and another win and spin this thing forward. But if you're Justin Gaethje, his teammate from Easton Muay Thai and Elevation Fight Team, Sean Madden, just tweeted me that Gaethje's been in the gym. Maybe this fight's been on his radar for weeks, but I don't know, man. Given the stakes for Gaethje, I think it's really tough to fight Tony Ferguson here in less than 20 days.
Plus, look, the fight I want to see, and I think everybody wants to see, is Khabib and Ferguson. You know what I mean? And I like Gaethje. I would never want to see him not get a paycheck, but I don't want to see that fight right now. The fight I want to see is Ferguson and Khabib. Yeah. That's the fight. I think Ferguson should wait for that fight, even if it's postponed a month and they could get that fight off. I think it's worth it for him to wait. But I'm sure that the UFC had called a bunch of people and said, listen, we don't know what's going on. get ready. You know, anybody in that weight class, be ready in case we need a replacement. But I'm not sure that's what the people want to see. You know what I mean? I think the buildup and even, you know, the buildup to this fight is unbelievable. Plus the fact that it was going to happen during a pandemic, which if they could pull that off, it's a miracle. That added some more craziness to the fight. You know, it just made it more crazy that you wanted to see it. Now, I don't know. I think it's a problem. But I really wanted to see Ferguson Khabib. And as much as I think it would be a good fight, I don't want to see the fight. It has nothing to do with Justin or the other guy. I just think I was so dialed into that fight that that's the fight I wanted to see.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Ray. It's a fight that I think everyone wants to see. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen no matter what. And then delaying it, who knows when that fight could happen. The UFC is committed to putting on fights. That is clear no matter what. And if they're going to make it happen and it's a fight that really doesn't have implications of, you know, actually being the champion, Khabib has the belt, why not make – if you're going to make it happen, make it at 165 pounds or something where these guys are going to at least be in a safer position to compete. I think that makes more sense than trying to get these guys to cut down, especially for Gaethje on short notice, down to 55. I think that's ludicrous.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Hey, Ray, before we let you go – you may have noticed, I know you've noticed, that we hired a chief marketing officer. AnnickFlorianPodcast.com is now live. We don't have Ray Longo Minute t-shirts yet, but they are cannonball coming. So we're trying to take this thing to the next level. You know, we're trying to provide you with a retirement income, and we've failed so far, but we're getting there.
Hey, listen, my social media skills suck, but anything I could do to help, I think I'm helping by retweeting. I don't even know if that's true.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know, but I'm kind of clueless. So, tell Cody to get in touch with me and help me out a little bit.
I will. Do your daughters know what the Ray Longo Minute is or not?
No clue.
Man, that's sad.
No clue. Listen, my daughter's downstairs doing teleteaching right now. She's a speech pathologist.
Oh, I bet.
And my wife's working. They're all working by computer. My other daughter's an occupational therapist, so they're busy. And they technically, I told you maybe about a year or two ago, they started to realize what I do because kids in college were,
of course,
you know, finding out and asking them questions and stuff. But besides that, no, they no clue.
Much respect to all the teachers working from home. Nothing easy about that navigation. And well, if they don't want Ray Longo Minute t-shirts, that's okay. I mean, my daughters like are begging for Anik and Florian podcast merchandise because they're in that right age wheelhouse. They're like 8 and 7. They want to represent Team Florian like everybody else. So
all right, buddy. They want the t-shirts. They just don't know what it is.
All right, well, so they're in the mail, buddy. Hey, thanks for your time. Stay safe, stay healthy up there in the epicenter, and we'll talk to you next Monday, if not sooner. Okay, buddy.
All right, guys, stay healthy, man.
You too, Ray.
All right, there it is. Ray Longo Minute every week here on the Anik and Florian Podcast, dating to episode 1 back in April of 2015. Support for the Anik and Florian Podcast comes from the official electric razor of UFC, Manscaped. Have you ever had an awkward moment where you had to grapple with someone who had a full bush coming out of their singlet? No? Well, thankfully, Manscaped has everything you need to keep your package nice and tidy. Manscaped, truly the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. And their top-notch ball trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0 will keep you clean without nicks and cuts. Manscaped has partnered with top-tier MMA athletes Max Holloway, Francis Ngannou, Brian Ortega, and many others who understand that hygiene matters and also know what it takes to be the best. Well, so does this revolutionary company, Manscaped. They just redesigned this Lawnmower 3.0, features proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, which makes manscaping accidents a thing of the past. MMA fans, don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. Not a good look there. Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside the new Perfect Package 3.0 to step up your all-around grooming game. And we want to get you off on the right foot. You can get 20% off and free shipping on your Lawnmower 3.0 with the code AF at manscaped.com. Give the perfect gift to your balls and your sparring partner as well. 20% off free shipping with the code AF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code AF. Thank you, Manscaped, for supporting mixed martial artists worldwide. All right, now joining us, the man in the black robe, I believe from his home in Las Vegas, Nevada, because, like, where else would he be right now? Former UFC light heavyweight champion, UFC Hall of Famer, and a guy who goes even further back with Ken Flo than I do, the great Forrest Griffin, is with us. Good day, my man.
It's great to see you guys. Great to see you guys. I see you're Justin. Kenny, how are you doing up in Boston, man?
I'm actually in L.A., which is, yeah, I've been in L.A. for a little while now. So it's been crazy over here, man. We've actually gotten it pretty bad. So we've been on lockdown for a little while, and the streets are empty. There's no traffic in Los Angeles. It's kind of creepy,
first
man.
First time ever.
Yeah, first time ever is right.
Only time ever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, it's good to see you. You know, I feel like you're a jinx for me. The last two times I've consumed alcohol in excess, you have been this is like over the course of 3 or 4 years. It might be like, I mean, going back to the Ultimate Fighter Wars, the women, I think it was like, you know, Pettis and what that. Yeah. So every time, you must think I'm a raging alcoholic. Something about you that makes me drink to excess.
I think it's clear I bring out the worst in people. I think that's what it comes down to. You, I have that effect.
Yeah. You and Seth.
Those are the people, right? I can see Bonner making you want to consume great amounts of alcohol. Kenflo's just a nice guy, you know.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, I'm still bitter about that little tough dinner thing too. I feel like it was ruined for me at the start, you know? I was like, oh, this could be cool. This could be fun. I get there. I'm like, oh, man. Same people that were assholes back then. Still assholes.
Still assholes.
That was the recent reunion, right? When was that?
It was probably over a year ago now.
Okay. Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah. It was cool. It was cool to see you, though, man. It was good to hang out and reconnect. It was cool. Well,
yeah, I mean, for the brief period of time, I was still functioning as a thing. Yeah.
So,
bad night. My Uber driver texted me the next morning. You all right, bro? I was like, yeah. Can I tip you? Oh.
See, you gotta not be Forrest Griffin in the Uber, right? See, Daniel Cormier switches it up, right? You gotta be like Frank Griffin. So then,
it's all good. Yeah.
So, you tweeted a few days ago, might be a couple weeks ago, things the coronavirus has made me realize. I've never washed my thumbs. You know, you've never washed your thumbs, like never, which I can agree with that. Being a teacher is really hard. My house is really small, and my wife and I together are smart enough to be a second grade teacher.
It's absolutely true. I was like, I felt like Rain Man. I was like, I know this basic geometry. I'm a genius. Obtuse. I don't even have to look that up. I know that. I felt great about myself until she got to like, what was it? Oh, when you say like he or she, I don't know. I've already forgotten what it was, like a past possessive pronoun or something.
Right.
Over there. I don't know what this is.
Right.
I'm going to teach my daughter wrong.
nothing easy about it. So the UFCPI obviously is closed down for all intents and purposes. Yeah. And I got to believe, I don't think anyone overall has done more workouts within those walls than you. I feel like you had probably worked out there hundreds of times before a lot of these fighters made it their training home. So how has that separation been for you? I know you're getting it in at home, but for you, this can't be easy.
It's been rough. And, you know, I'm regretting not taking a weight vest and some power blocks. Like, I should have just taken some stuff. Like, nobody needs it there.
No one's using it. Yeah.
It's just getting cleaned repeatedly there. You know, it's like I should have taken that stuff. I'm actually having a friend go in because they have to get some equipment for local fighters to drop off their houses.
Oh, wow.
And, I'm going to have them pick me up like weight vest and maybe some extra little dumbbells and stuff. And then I'm going to do like, I'm going to buy some more dumbbells at the Target, like, you know, where you drive up and they put the stuff in your groceries in your car.
Oh, man. So what is Forrest doing to pass the time? Is it just workouts all day? What are you doing?
No. So we have a ton. You know, you remember the first journal that came out, right?
Yeah.
We have a second journal, year three journal. And, you know, we have an academy class in China, right? So they're taking a lot of the learnings from that academy class and the load management and the structure of that camp and the skill acquisition portions of it. And we're trying to turn it into part of a journal three, right? So like,
oh, wow.
You know, kind of what I want, and I want these geniuses around me to figure is I want a template. And then I want Kenny Florian to be able to evaluate Kenny Florian and say, I have this, my jiu-jitsu's good, my wrestling's okay, my striking's pretty good. These are the aspects I want to work on. These are how I can structure my practices to get the most out of it. These are how many times I have to work a new skill to develop that skill. These are how many times I have to work a skill I already have to maintain that skill, right? So it's hard because you have so many different disciplines in MMA, right? You have to keep the sharp knives you have, while at the same time you have to build new weapons and sharpen them, right? So how do you do that? A great example, you remember Alex Schoenhauer.
Yes.
On the show, decent striker, got knocked out by Swick. He spent 6 months working on his wrestling and jiu-jitsu because he was really weak at that. He didn't really worry too much about the striking because I was like, all right, I'm substantially better than that. And then when he got out there, he immediately got knocked out because he didn't, one, game plan for his opponent, who was a striker with quick hands. And then two, he kind of let that skill get sloppy, get dull, because he was working so much. He was working so hard. I felt bad because he'd been doing so much wrestling and grappling, and then he gets knocked out in, like, the first round. You're like, we didn't do a ton of striking.
People talk about wrestling maintenance just being a brutal part of the sport, right? The truly high-level guys trying to maintain that skill.
You know, and maybe you can, guys can attest to this. I've seen a lot of great wrestlers, and they don't wrestle that much in MMA practices. They wrestle just enough to maintain it, but they're not looking. They're not looking to go back to college. They
get
that 2 hour grind in 3 times a week. They're not looking for that. They're like, I got my hour in. We're gonna drill a little bit. Call it a day.
So anyone who has seen you work out even now on the Stairmaster, I mean, cardio king, the way you'd attack a weight cut in your career, we never had to worry about you. But what would your thoughts be on what would your thoughts be on trying to make weight, never mind compete, given this coronavirus backdrop without able bodies potentially to work with? What do you feel like the athletes are going through right now?
So the weight, it's really about, that's controllable, right? It's hard in the setting because your routine's broken, but you can set a routine like I've done. I work out every day at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I start work, or, you know, sometimes 8, right? So I'm still on routine. Like, for the weight, you don't really have an excuse. That's what you're putting in your body. You can alter it and tailor it because it's hard to get fresh foods right now, but it's the actual skill where you might work with 3, 4, 5 people. Right now, guys are working with 1 or 2 safe buddies, right? So you got a group of 3, and it's like, these are as many people as you really should feel comfortable being around. So I feel like it's the skill maintenance portion of it that's more, you know, hard at this point. One thing I'll say, Tony Ferguson doesn't, his training is so unorthodox all the time that I don't know that the quarantine has affected him.
Yeah. Right.
He doesn't even know there's a quarantine, man. Yeah. He's like, he's got his guy coming over to hold mitts. He's kicking steel pot. He's, you know.
double legging cars going down the road. Tony, you might not want to. Okay, that's fine. No, you did it? Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Hey,
that's
just good. Don't let the driver breathe on you, bro.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah.
So have you watched this Tiger King documentary on Netflix?
Man, I have not. Okay. You know, I'm pretty good at not following the I mean, I'm familiar with it. I get it. I'm just pretty good at not following whatever. I'm just a contrarian. Kenny can attest that. I'm just, I just, whatever it is that, like, cool people are doing, I can't do it. I mean, I'm interested, but I'm like, man, I'd rather watch crappy sci-fi or just watch fights.
I agree, actually, on both of those. I'm way behind. If people ask me, oh, have you seen this movie or Netflix show, it's usually no. One of our producers actually gave us homework to watch Tiger King before the show today. Yeah. I've been deeply disturbed thus far, but I think you'd find some value in it. It's actually nonfiction somehow. So.
Yeah. I like fiction, man. So the only time I watch TV, right, is 90 minutes before bed. So I watch about an hour of TV a day. Well, outside of, like, work TV, fighting and fight stuff. Sure. I count that as work, not as screen time.
Yeah, we do too. Yeah. not screen time.
It's not screen time. Alex, I'm doing work. Do you watch a fight? I'm doing work, Alex. But, you know, I don't want reality. I want, like, some nonsense from another planet that's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, and my wife, you know, I have to, like, we alternate nights of TV, so then I have to watch shows like A Million Little Things and This Is Us, and I have to watch shows like that. And, you know, the crappy sci-fi or whatever, you know, weird serial killer show that I've found. You know? Oh, here's a Swedish-Norwegian serial killer show. This is going to be great.
Right. Yeah, you gave me a good idea, though. You switch off nights, and then she would have no choice but to watch the garbage that I'd want to watch. So in terms of all these fights, right, like, and I know, I don't know if you're the biggest football fan in the world growing up in Georgia. I mean, were you a Falcons fan? Or?
Huge. The Dirty Birds. Come on.
Okay.
I was too legit to quit.
So.
I do throw him, but yeah.
So I have said that I feel like this Khabib Nurmagomedov-Tony Ferguson fight is perhaps the biggest singular fight in UFC history because of where this division is and where these two athletes are. So for me, it feels like a Super Bowl, if not bigger. I feel like it's the most anticipated fight competitively, divisionally of my lifetime. And now it doesn't look like Take Five is going to happen. And can you fucking believe it?
Even more than that, it's that we've been promised this fight for so long. Like I saw the stats this morning on, you know, Israel Adesanya, the champ, was 2 years away from even fighting in the UFC the first time they were lined up. Like, Ronda Rousey was still champion the first time they were lined up. Radu was champion first time they were in the fight, you know? It showed all these crazy stats, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know? Like, Poirier was at 145 or something, you know? It's, like, insane. Like, jeez. Wow. It is just, wow. I mean, you know, and at this point, it's like its own story of the curse, you know? It's really like, we'll find a way. You're both healthy, global pandemic. It's really crazy, right?
Next time we set it up for the 11th time, whenever we do, we can't have them sign the contract until like they're about to walk out to the octagon. That's the only way. And even then, there's probably something will happen.
Somebody at work, when we watched some of the press conference, you know, back in when the world was still going, said, just have them fight now. Like, let's just cancel this main event. Just make that the main event. Give them, like, a 10-pound weight allowance. And, guys, don't worry about the cuts. Don't worry about that. Just fight this weekend. We got you both. Let's do it.
Well, one big variable that they're up against here is Ramadan. I mean, there are athletes like Bilal Muhammad that are more than willing to train and compete through it, and obviously he's not an undisputed champion, so maybe he can't call every shot, but April 23rd I think is the date for Khabib, so there wasn't really, people say, oh, push the fight back to May 15th, that wasn't really going to be an option for Khabib. So if you're Justin Gaethje,
I didn't factor that in. That's a great catch. Because Ramadan's a tough one because it moves, you know, it's always different, so I'm always confused, like, Ramadan's in September.
Yeah. So in terms of Justin Gaethje, reports are that he was in the gym. I mean, you got to think that he was the guy if either one of these fighters pulled out. I mean, do you think he was training for that date? But do you think he was training for that date?
No, doubtful. And I read a thing about he doesn't usually take fights on short notice. But if you want to be champ, sometimes you got to take a fight on short notice, you know? Right. Everybody, we've all taken fights on short notice. You know, it is what it is. Poirier's talking about taking a fight. I'm like, didn't you just have like surgery? Like, I'm not saying like, I'm not, you know, like, you don't have like surgery? Are you like post-op? Aren't you like just cleared to train MMA now? Like, what are you doing?
Like, well, I think,
fight. I don't care. I'll fight.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these guys feel like it's good business to throw their name in the hat, especially
with Gilbert Burns kind of scenario. You got to fight? I'll fight. It was, you know, Cowboys started it, and then guys like Gilbert and Vince Luque, they've been like, oh, okay, whatever. If I just train, and that's another thing about training load. If I just train consistently, like a normal human being with progressive overload, I can train a lot, stay in good shape, keep my weight relatively close, and I can stay 3 weeks out from a fight and then just put that last little taper and cut in without destroying myself for a camp. So sometimes, personally, I felt better when I didn't have much of a training camp because I couldn't destroy myself as much.
Right.
You know, they're like, okay, well, I just got to concentrate on making this weight and getting a little bit of conditioning. I can't, you know, you can't overthink it. But
so, So Ken Flo's jiu-jitsu school in Los Angeles is closed indefinitely. I mean, have you thought about what it's going to be like walking back into that UFC PI? I mean, are you giving the now father of two, James Kimble, like a big hug, or is he getting an elbow now? I mean, we're walking back into a whole new world.
No, he's getting a nod. He's getting a nod. What's up? Good to see you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Amen.
Yep. And, I've always been a nodder anyway. You know, that's the thing. I'm known, like, with my wife's friends as an awkward hugger because it's not really the thing. I don't like to hug women. I don't like to hug people in general. If there's hug involved, me, it's usually another guy and something amazing, like a life-altering moment has occurred. Like, we won championship or, like, we you know, we won at beer pong or something. That's when I'll hug another human being. Not or my daughter and my wife. But I'm not like a big hugger. And so I don't really. I was anti shaking hands. Going through my fight career, people thought I was a jerk. I was just always a little bit overtrained, so my immune system was a little bit depressed, and I always found I would get sick. Every time I did an appearance, I'd shake 1,000 hands.
Wow.
And then next thing you know, oh, I'm sick. That's shocking, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody should have told me how to wash my thumbs is what happened.
I know.
I didn't know how to wash my thumbs.
That's the truth.
That's why I kept getting sick.
So I was in the back of a car with Forrest in 2015 and telling him he needs to start the Forrest Griffin Show. And here we are 5 years later, and you're making the rounds a little bit, obviously, this week, and you've got some downtime. But, I mean, can we get a Forrest Griffin Show originating from the UFC PI? We're just looking for an hour a week.
I don't think so, no. I mean, you guys are doing pretty good at it. You
know, yeah, like thanks.
I'm very fortunate in that I have a job, and I want to play as much of a role in that as I can. And, you know, I've turned down a lot of cool opportunities, you know, things I would have liked to done. But I remember, and ironically, this was before I fought Anderson. This is like 6 or 7 weeks out, going to, like, it was like somebody huge at the time, their album release party, this or that, you know, people want to take you out to dinner. And I was like, nope, can't do it. And that's kind of, like, for me, that's how I have to be in life, because I'm not a Tyron Woodley where I can, all right, hey, look, I only train 18 to 20 hours a week. What I do with the other, whether I'm watching Netflix or I'm at a party, you know, mingling with high octane people, whatever, that's the choice you make. Whereas me, I was like, all right, I got to pull back. I got to just concentrate and be kind of monastic about this goal. And that's how I feel about the PI to an extent. You know, like, if I want to be in the UFC and I want to do big things on this side of the, you know, of the sideline, I have to kind of dedicate that to myself. And I like getting on TV every now and again. It's fun. I you know, I had the Metro PCS show. I love that.
That's right. That Purple Couch.
Great. That was great. Just to keep yourself in front of the camera a little bit. You know, I'm sure you guys understand. You don't understand because you're both in front of the camera all the time. But it is, as they say, a perishable skill, right? If you are not kind of getting in front of there, you get in front of your. What was I supposed to say?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, like, you guys will probably be like a little on the wrong foot.
Rusty. Rusty.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to shake that shit off. Yes.
Ever, yeah.
No doubt. It will be the most time I haven't talked professionally in 15, 20 years. You're absolutely right.
Wow. What if the, you guys aren't even there when they fight? Like, if they're able to put it together, do it in the Apex, and you're just, like, in some studio down the street, you know, able to commentate the fight. That would be cool.
So when I was at ESPN, the WBC heavyweight championship fight between Vitaly Klitschko and Shannon Briggs was happening in Germany, and I was in Bristol, Connecticut with BJ Flores calling that fight in front of a green screen. So it absolutely can be done.
That's awesome. What time was that? That was like a weird time.
Yeah, it was a weird time for us, and I'm sure prime time for them, and then it aired taped delayed on ESPN. Hey, before we let you go, and it sort of dovetails with the UFC PI stuff, so this July, God willing – the first annual Forrest Griffin Community Service Award is going to be handed out courtesy of Toyo Tires. And this is a big deal. You know, if I had told 18-year-old Forrest Griffin that he would become a beacon of the Las Vegas community, and you have become that, you probably would have laughed in my face. This has to be pretty exciting to have this type of service award in your honor, in your name.
Well, I'd be like, Las Vegas? How did I end up in Las Vegas? Bad choices to end up in Las Vegas.
I know.
This is home. This is where I met my wife. For me, this is, this is probably where I'll spend the rest of my life. You know, that's crazy to think, right? I love this place. So anything I can do locally. And you got to think, when I was first hired at the UFC, it was community outreach. That's what I was going to do. And what kind of happened is I got involved with some stuff when I was fighting. I had a little bit of, clout, name recognition. I was able to throw it behind some people. I was able to tithe a little bit and make some donations. And then right after that, I was on these boards, And then I removed myself from a couple of the boards. I'm still on the Three Square board. But I removed myself from a couple of the boards, but people still would reach out. So I became kind of like a matchmaker, right? Like, all right, I got a guy. And then, our buddy Alex Karolexis got in the service business, right? And I was able to help him with the Home for Heroes, Jared Allen's Home for Heroes. So, just any fighter that has like a good cause or something, I'm able to help them and get the UFC to magnify that a little bit. And that is pretty awesome, man. It really is.
You've made quite the imprint. You really have. And I don't want to bring up the Falcons on the way out, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask in terms of the hugging, right? I mean, the Falcons are up 28-3 in a Super Bowl. I mean, are you hugging yet, or are you waiting for them to close the show?
That is the funniest story. We'll end on this. I was at a party. I hosted a party because I knew it, so I hosted a Super Bowl party. My wife wasn't feeling good, so I go home to take care of our daughter at halftime. My mom starts texting me, and my mom doesn't text. Like, what's going on? Like, why is the ball, like confused with the rules? Like, what's going on? And I thought, I drove 40 minutes. I get home, and I thought they'd won the Super Bowl. And people are like, no, it's still on. Turn it on. I turn it on, and they're like, they lose. And I was just, I don't even like sport. It's so weird, right? The power of sports. I don't even know those people. I haven't lived there for 12 years, 13 years. And here I am, my day was ruined.
Oh, yeah.
I was just angry. So angry that I blew it, I was, mad at people I don't know. why am I mad at these football players? Do I think that they didn't want to win? They wanted to win that game, all right? They didn't blow it on purpose.
They feel a lot worse than you
do. Yeah. I'm mad at that.
All right. Well, the Hall of Famer in every sense of Hall of Famer, Forrest Griffin, appreciate your time, man. Don't be a stranger. When we did our 100th episode, you may recall, you were our featured guest that day because it was a big show for us. I can't believe it's taken this long to have you back on, but we appreciate the time. I know Ken Flo loves having you back at least.
You're the man, Forrest.
All right, guys. Love you guys. Take care, man.
See you,
buddy. Peace.
There he is, Forrest Griffin. Always good to catch up with the Ultimate Fighter One veteran, Ken Flo, 2005. You remember your first impression when you saw Forrest? Cauliflower ear was still omnipresent back then.
Yeah, absolutely. He was an absolute maniac. One of the funniest guys you'd ever meet. And it's amazing to see what he's done with his career. A guy who was pretty certain he was going to go back and be, continue as a police officer after the show. And obviously it didn't turn out that way. Became a legendary fighter in the UFC, and he deserves all of his success, man. It's awesome to see him.
All right. We now bring on Ian Parker at Parker Cage Hero on social media, and he has a tiger over his shoulder. We see the prop. So Forrest Griffin has not seen Tiger King. Cody Mero, our chief marketing officer, told me and Ken Flo our homework before the show this week was to watch Tiger King. I know you have watched the season now twice over. I'm going to start by saying this. Documentaries are not immune from being spoiled. So I'm like two or three episodes in, and the notion that you can't spoil a documentary upon further review is not accurate, right? I know what happened to one of these central characters because of a tweet from Daniel Cormier. I don't want to know what happened to that central character. So as far as I'm concerned, DC has spoiled it for me. Man, this is pretty disturbing through three episodes, Ian. What can you tell us on the Tiger King front?
Well, while I was on hold, I was jamming out to his hit single, I Saw a Tiger, and really gets me right here in the feels, during this time, Joe Exotic is really getting me through this hardship. I got to tell you, it's obviously going to be my Halloween costume this year and maybe the next year over. which character did he ruin for you? Because honestly, like, this thing is so fucking crazy that there is you're only on episode 3. Like, and you're already kind of like, whoa, this is nuts. Yeah. It gets even crazier. Like, it's not even close. You haven't even touched the crazy yet.
Kenny, that's why I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, because I don't want to spoil it for people.
Let's
so
go.
if you have yet to see Tiger King, may want to start fast forwarding by like 30 seconds. I'm giving you guys 2 minutes on Tiger King. Ken Flo. I mean, the 19-year-old being brought into the marriage, and I mean, it just, I don't know. I'm deeply disturbed during a time where I'm already pretty disturbed.
It's wild, dude. It is definitely wild. And just the characters in and around this scene, it's not only him. It's all these people that have cats and their stories and how weird they are. And just, I don't know. It's a completely different world out there. And, you know, we were talking about reality shows and how Forrest was telling us he'd prefer to watch science fiction. Reality is way weirder than science fiction in a lot of ways, especially something like this. And I'm on episode, wait, I just finished episode 5, so I think I have 2 more episodes to go.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's only getting weirder, dude.
You want to know what bothers me the most, though, is that this whole time I could have got a fucking tiger for $2,000. And it bothers me that I got 2 dogs that, you know, right, they're just not as cool as tigers. Can you imagine walking around down the street like a 300-pound just tiger? Like, oh, this is Bob. He's cool. Don't touch his tail, but he's friendly. You know, well, it's just crazy. So the stories, the characters are amazing.
You are absolutely going to be Joe Exotic for Halloween this year.
I kind of
want to come trick-or-treating with, you know, over at the neighborhood of mansions over there in Parkland, Florida. And I'm sorry, but no, I want to come to Parkland. I want to trick or treat. I want to see you as Joe Exotic. I'm excited to talk about Tiger King.
Sure.
In the weeks ahead as we ingest more of it. But again, no spoilers out there, Daniel Cormier, you know, I mean, come on.
He was posting spoilers?
Goes out of his way. It's like, not like Colby Covington bad, but it's like,
right,
he goes out of his way. He basically said, oh, this did or didn't happen to character X ? And it's like, come on, man.
Listen, in his defense, and I'm not the first one to defend DC in the situation, but this stuff's in the news too. You know, so like, if someone were to Google this, this is like current news also right now, which is wild. That's what's kind of crazy about this, too.
All right. A lot of people think I should lay off DC. So,
that's fine. Well, no, I'm not saying that. You can lay it on all you want. He shouldn't have spoiled it, but it is in the news. But, you know, it's crazy.
Ian, we talked to Ray Longo pretty extensively about the John Jones situation. I don't want to belabor the point too much, but what was your reaction last Thursday when that news came down the pipe?
Well, when Ray spoke about this, had he just woken up, or was it, because I know that's a different Ray when he just rolls out of bed. I'd love to hear that one. But listen, you know, my whole thing that I question here with someone like him, you know, people keep saying, oh, he's got to get help. Yeah, but it's also really stupid. Like, we can't keep giving him this, like, get a jail free card, no pun intended, because he's still kind of young and he's got mental issues. Yeah, but you know, you would think with someone with a team around him, and I don't blame the management, I don't know who to place blame on, but guys like LeBron James that are the biggest names in their sport with all the money and the accessibility to everything, they don't fuck up. They have people that drive them. Like, how hard would it have been to pay one of his friends $50,000 for the year to be his turtle to his Vinny Chase? You know, just something as simple as that. Why and how do you, I hate to laugh, but how do you do this when you're supposed to be on lockdown, you know, of all times,
right,
to be out driving around and, you know, popping the gun off? It's just, it's sad. It sucks. We'll see where this really goes. It just, I just don't know how many chances he's going to really get. And if this is really it, because this could be, Kenny and I were talking about this off the record, they're going to test that bullet, the ballistics, and that gun may or may not be connected to a few other incidents in the area that they're looking at. And if that's the case, that's a whole different level of criminal activity, you know? So
I do think, and again, I'm not a defender here. I do think it's simplistic when a lot of people say, oh, just hire a driver for $50,000 a year, because I do think John wants to just be able to go out. And obviously you need to be sober when you do it, but he just wants to put his gun on the car in the desert and just go out and be a dick or whatever, you know? And I just think that, you know, in a global pandemic, I don't know that your driver's going to be on call necessarily anyway, but I don't know. The whole thing is just sad. I got a tweet here, Ken Flo, from Jonathan Ordonez before we get back into the Khabib stuff. Running a gym during this global pandemic, strategies to get members back once everything is normal. I don't know if John Ordonez has a gym of his own. And I'm sure you and Jason Hunt are probably thinking about a lot of these strategies right now as you're counting down the days until you open the doors to that beautiful gym.
You know, thank you. You know, there's so much we don't know, and all we could do is continue to, you know, keep the place as clean as possible and have the highest standards for cleanliness. And, you know, no, whether it's the coronavirus or not, we do not allow people to come into the gym if they're not feeling well because of those situations. And I don't know, man, you know, it's one of those things we're going to have to battle back to get certain members back. And who knows when this is actually done and over with, because I'm sure after people have been given the go ahead to go back and go back to their normal routine, the coronavirus is still going to be out and about. Who knows when we're going to have an actual vaccine for something like that. So it is a little bit worrisome. We are concerned, and all we could do is do our best to run the business, you know, as we've been doing, perhaps with some higher, you know, cleaning standards and things like that. But it's going to change the dynamic of a lot of businesses out there. Even I'm sure for people who have been working from home, I think this whole thing is going to change a lot of the ways that the nature of business is conducted from here on out.
So, Ian, I know there are people out there that have a problem when we even talk fights or talk about this fight happening on April 18th, but because it is still scheduled to go down and because Khabib Nurmagomedov is seemingly stuck in Russia, Justin Gaethje's name has now been injected into this mix. I guess I'll just say Tony Ferguson can't be competing for any more interim championships, right? Like, this dude needs to fight for an undisputed lightweight title, and the Gaethje fight obviously is not going to be that. You know, as we sit here Monday afternoon, I don't know that either guy has signed, Ian, unless something happened over the course of the last hour. What do you think is the resolution, and what do you think happens or doesn't happen April 18th?
Man, I feel like our conversation last week shouldn't even have existed at this point, because I was so confident this was going to happen, but I should have known that it literally will take a fucking pandemic to keep this fight from happening between Tony and Khabib. Man, as much as I want to see the violence of Tony and Justin, I don't know what it does for Tony. You know, to your point, the interim title, it doesn't make sense unless you give him the undisputed, because Khabib's going to be out because of Ramadan, you know, at some point soon anyway. So he won't be able to fight until, what is that, October or November? You know, at that point, you either push this fight back. You know, Gaethje, I remember there was an interview, I forgot who did it, so forgive me, at the awards last year, and they offered him the fight with Tony on 4 weeks' notice, and he said no. As much as I want that opportunity, I can't do that to myself. Tony is, we talk about this, as Kenny said, he's a dark force. You really need real training to prepare yourself for that, and you'd think with Gaethje being that other version of a dark force, you know, maybe he wouldn't. But, you know, I read Dustin Poirier's out there, Masvidal, Usman, and then I just read that Woodley and Covington are willing to fight each other on last minute. I don't know if these guys are just throwing their names in the ring just to kind of be relevant, like, in this time of lack of content. But at this point, I just say you push it back. I you know, don't risk the fighter's health. Don't risk putting together something that isn't going to make sense in the long run. I'd hate to see either one of these guys get destroyed and kind of derail what type of future they really had, you know? So, I mean, listen, I want Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson, but I just don't want it with zero training. So,
Kenny, when we had Adesanya Romero just a few weeks ago, right, the same month in which we're in right now, maybe we were blind to just how imminent and dangerous a threat this was going to be, but don't you think promotionally that Justin Gaethje is the obvious next in line with respect to Conor McGregor or anybody else, but Gaethje with a 3-fight winning streak in tow, you got to think some part of him was training for a date on April 18th. I'm not saying it's the ideal backdrop, but we mentioned earlier his teammate Sean Madden says he's been in the gym. I mean, don't you think the promotion put him on notice or on standby, or am I just speculating way too much?
I would think so, and as a guy who's in the top five, anyone in any division, if you know a title fight is about to take place in a month or two, stay ready. I think that should just go without saying.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a good manager, you're telling your guys to stay ready during that time in case an injury or something crazy like this happens. If this fight goes down, I wouldn't be surprised, again, to see it at a different weight, at like 165 pounds, and maybe see it put down to a 3-rounder. Because, again, they're not going to fight for a belt at this point. Yeah, you know, the interim belt, Tony has that. This is about just trying to get a fight out there for the fans. And for Gaethje, I'm sure he's pushing for a higher weight and less rounds. Fighting Tony Ferguson for five rounds at this point, knowing how Tony trains for a fight, is not a good idea for anybody taking a fight on short notice.
Ian, Ali Abdelaziz manages both Khabib Nurmagomedov and Justin Gaethje. I know you've been on that side of things as a former MMA manager. Can't be a disadvantage for Gaethje, right, in terms of knowing exactly what's going on with Khabib at any given time?
No, it's a huge advantage of being part of that. That was a dominance MMA with Ali. You know, that stable, they got a lot of guys. And out of all those guys, there's only so many in the top three in a division that can really affect each other. And this was kind of, you know, if not the UFC, you know, preparing him, Ali had to have said to him, be like, listen, I might not be able to get Khabib out of Russia, so you're the only choice. You're the option, you know, unless Conor is going to come out of the blue and surprise us, which there's no way you let Conor fight on short notice with the amount of promotion you can get behind that. You don't waste a Conor marketing opportunity there. So I think to your point, that is the only point, is with all the preparation you can have, inside source, secret heads up, having Ali there as part of the manager, yeah, that might be the key that we aren't really seeing yet. But yeah, that could be it.
All right, and I'll let you go on this, Ian, unless you got anything else on Tiger King on the way out. You know, I don't want to disappoint you and not give you a wide enough platform to talk about that show.
It's okay.
But it seems like because so many options could be off the table, everything is seemingly on the table right now. We're hearing maybe Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman could potentially fight on April 18th. I mean, it seems like this is such a unique circumstance that you have all these high-profile fighters who certainly make a lot to show, who are offering themselves up for April 18th. And we don't know anything in terms of matchups right now as we sit here 20 days out, but we could be looking at a supercard for the ages if, in fact, they are able to make this card happen somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, I'm just curious to who's really been able to train fully and stay ready. And, you know, like in Kamaru Usman, I don't think he's ever taken a short notice fight. You know, I don't know if Masvidal has in the last few years either. And, you know, that, again, you're talking about fights that are the UFC's key
I know,
to profit.
I know.
That's to me what's crazy. I think if you're going to do this, I don't mind seeing Tyron Woodley and Kobe Covington take that spot. They're not going to be one of the biggest, you know, marketing money makers out there, but it's still a very strong fight in the division that could have title implications, not, you know, when this whole thing is all said and done. So I think that fight, if those guys are really ready, just because Woodley was going to fight Leon Edwards, what was it, last weekend? I'm so messed up on days at this point. I really have no idea. I missed my garbage guy this morning because I didn't even realize what day it was. But
it's not like growing up in Massachusetts where you go to the fucking Wellesley dump and dump your shit. There's no dump down here.
No dump down.
Can't flow, right? You know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Right? Can't flow.
Oh, yeah.
And my HOA is a bunch of assholes. I can't even leave the pail outside. I got to keep it in my garage. My garage fucking stinks right now, so I got to wait till Wednesday. I didn't even realize what day it was. But you know what? I think Covington Woodley could be the backup plan. Or listen, if Tony Ferguson wants to be a complete psychopath and go up to 170 and fight Tyron Woodley, I'm good with that too. Because I know Woodley at least is ready.
Right. Hey, Ken Flo, you remember growing up on Sunday, going to the fucking dump with your dad, dumping shit? They got free books there, right? No? No?
They had to scan the sticker on the windshield, make sure you're a resident, and then you go in, you dump the recycling. I remember.
That's a thing? Wow, that's awesome. And by the way, one of our listeners wrote on YouTube, they may have found someone of equal celebrity status as Ken Flo from Dover.
Interesting. Who? Who's that?
The band Dispatch. Have you guys heard of the band Dispatch?
My friend was the singer in that band, Chad.
Well, that
Ernston.
Doesn't surprise me because there's 14 people in that location. Yeah.
Hey, who we forgot about, and this was not very well known, but I used to drive by his house and see if I would spot him. Dominique Wilkins, when he played for the Boston Celtics, had a house in Dover. Yeah.
So there had been. But there have been a lot. Dominique Wilkins might be the highest profile, but Ken Flo, as you know, there have been a lot of those professional athletes who have settled out there in Dover. You're the rooted guy, though.
Oh, okay.
And don't give me this Dispatch bullshit, right? Great band at the time. No, I got some of their songs on my phone, but
there's only one song.
I mean, they don't bleed that royal blue and white. like Ken Flo does, Dover Sherburn High School.
One of our first comments, someone threw that out there. I go, that's great that there was at least a response to that.
Speaking of which, we got to get out of here, but Manscaped, a lawnmower 3.0 with the ceramic blade is going to our best YouTube commenter of the week. We're going to give out another one this coming week. But Ian Parker, who is the winner week one?
I'm going to give a quick shout out to Jonathan Correa, who said, Ken Flo, the Duke of Dover, the tickler of balls.
The Duke of Dover.
He came in third place. Wisco Van Life, my grass is beginning too long. My neighbors are getting pissed. But the winner is going to go to Oscar Silva, who said, when you mow your lawn, the tree looks taller. My tree needs a growth spurt. Help me, Ian. So, Oscar, we're going to help that tree grow. We're going to help it sprout. John, Oscar Silva gets the lawnmower 3.0. Help this man turn that stump into a sprouted tree. Let's go.
Oscar Silva for the win. Get in touch with Ian Parker on social media. He'll find you. You guys will figure out a way to connect, and we will get lawnmower 3.0 in the mail. All right. We got to get on out of here. Thank you to our guests, Forrest Griffin, Raymond Peter Longo, Ian Parker. Thanks to TJ DeSantis and Maestro Cody Merrow putting it all together. We are back with you next Monday. Maybe we'll have finality in terms of a main event for UFC 249. If this thing ends up in Las Vegas, though, I got to hit the road soon. So hopefully we get some answers here with that. For Kent, Chloe, and TJ and the rest, John Anderson, so long for now. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, AnnickFlorianPodcast.com is now live. 15% off your entire order for the next week with promo code AFLaunch. We appreciate the support. Obviously, some of those proceeds going to the World Health Organization. Until next week, thank you all for watching, for listening. See you next week. Go later.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.